Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my guest tonight at the big table, Andrew Holmes. Andrew Holmes is a longtime Chicago activist and now a crisis responder. Holmes is one of the few members of Chicago Survivors, a new program sponsored by the city to help victims and victims' families of gun violence. Holmes, no stranger to violence. He was shot when he was 25 years old, and he lost an adult daughter to gun violence last summer in Indianapolis. Andrew Holmes is a fixture at crime scenes, rallies, hospitals, and unfortunately, funerals. He's become one of the Southside's leading spokespersons when it comes to continuing violence and the epidemic here in Chicago. Andrew Holmes, welcome to The Download.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to meet you. I see you quoted all the time. I see you in the news. You really, when I say you kind of become a spokesperson, you have.
Well, I just try to enhance the quality of life of an individual and even try to save the next soul that I can save.
Why? I mean, why this calling?
Well, you know, as you stated, I've been a victim of gun violence before. It took me a couple of months to learn how to re-walk again. And from there, I just had, you know, that feeling about helping other people. You know, I know the feeling you go through when you're in that hospital through all of the surgery and the therapy that you have to learn to live and fight to live. And I wouldn't want nobody to go through that pain. It's just unfortunate now we're in a city that our youth and adults are losing their life to gun battles, to gun violence. So I'm one of the few that survived.
You grew up here in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Give us an understanding, because I think a lot of people don't really have a clear picture of how violence has evolved over the years. When we see police numbers, they say violence is down. Gun violence is down from what it was like in the 80s or early 90s. From your vantage point, has violence decreased in Chicago?
And on some days and some months, it's decreased. But other months, it's an increase, because you turn around and you see young children and adults, you know, victims of gun violence, and they lost their life. So, you know, it's an up and down situation.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Tyshawn Lee, the 9-year-old who was killed. You were out in front of that. You were at the rally that was in the park. You were at his funeral. You know, I mean, obviously the city of Chicago is paying very close attention to the death of Tyshawn Lee, the 9-year-old. There's so many different elements of this story that have come out in the newspaper and so many comments and people talking about it. When you see this happen, it's not the first time it's happened. But when you see it, Andrew Holmes, when you see it, what's your reaction to it?
It's very disturbing, very upset. You know, it's just like a person's hearts get to beating and beating faster and faster, and you wondering, well, who's going to step up to the plate and who's going to be the next victim?
This case, as horrific as it is, has brought attention to the epidemic of gun violence in Chicago. You've seen a lot of people become, I don't want to say desensitized to it, but the mainstream Chicago, maybe some of the WGN listeners who are listening in the suburbs, they just see numbers. They see this many shot, this many killed. They're not putting faces to the people. Tyshawn Lee, at 9 years old, got everybody's attention. Is that a good thing?
In a way, it's a worse thing to me, because I wouldn't want that to happen to anybody. But when you look at it far as a good thing, it has to be highlighted nationally and bring some attention to the United States to let them know that this could happen to anybody. I mean, the kid only been here 9 years, but it took his mother 9 months to deliver him. So why cut his life short and execute him like that?
Talking with Andrew Holmes, a Chicago activist, also a crisis responder with Chicago Survivors. And we're going to talk about Chicago Survivors after the break. It's a download here on WGN Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the big table, Andrew Holmes. Longtime Chicago activist, got a day named after you, or a day from the city of Chicago, proclamation. You're also now a crisis responder with Chicago Survivors, which is a program that is being sponsored by the city of Chicago. It's a 2-year sponsorship. Talk about Chicago Survivors and why it's important and why you're involved in it.
Well, just dedication to the people who become victims of gun violence, because when they lose that loved one, that voice is there no more. But at the same time, they need help and they need direction. And they need some people that's going to care. Because when the lights and cameras are gone, we're not gone. We be with them throughout the funeral process. We get them help and try to get funding for the funeral. If we have to relocate them, we'll relocate them. But most important, we try to talk to them families and get to the next kin young man or young girl who maybe want to retaliate, and we try to encourage them, you know, just stay in school. You only would hurt your family or hurt somebody else's family, but we try to get counseling for the family, and it's very well needed.
Is that one of the big kids? I mean, obviously grief. I mean, the loss of a loved one, a family member, but there also has to, and in a lot of these situations, is this idea of revenge, this idea of retaliation. So you, for the Chicago survivors, you deal with that as well?
We have a coordinator there that works with youth. So instead of letting a youth just sit there and think about retaliation, Charlene Davis is doing a wonderful job there with the youth, bringing all of the youth together who are suffering because their brothers and sisters are gone. So we try to relax their mind and try to keep their mind on education and let them know that they can do something better with their hands, even if we have to put them back in church, bring them back around the table to eat with their family, where so many families don't even eat around the table anymore.
And get an idea of a crisis responder. I mean, are you listening to the radio? How does it work when there's a crime, especially gun violence? When do you get involved?
We are dispatched out through CPIC. Mm-hmm. And once there's a homicide, we have to either go to the hospital or either the medical examiner's office or wherever this crime scene is at and meet this family to try to maybe diffuse the situation if it is there, to let the Chicago Police Department, the detectives, do their job. Once we're there, we follow the protocols and let the family know there's a process that they have to go through. The reason the body is laying out here so long, the next step is going to be to the medical examiner's office. So we go from A to Z and explain to them every process that's going on, because at that time, they're so traumatized, they want to run through that tape. They want to get to their loved ones,
right.
And we respect that. But once we get there and talk to those parents, the mother, father, they're grieving so much. And, I mean, we can't just look at them and say, you know, well, it ain't right. It ain't right. No, we have to let them vent. We have to let them know we are there for them. We are there to help them. And it's working. It is working because it's very well needed, because someone has to be neutral to let the family know that you do have people here that can help. We understand. We are in these same shoes. We have lost our loved ones. So the next step from here is they're going to remove the remains to the medical examiner's office. And the time that you can go to the medical examiner's office, from the medical examiner's office, the process to the funeral home, from the funeral home, the next step from there.
What's your relationship like with the Chicago Police Department? Because as you said, I mean, they're putting up the yellow tape. They're trying to deal with the beginnings of a homicide investigation. And in some cases, they do have to deal with the family that doesn't want to let go because they're grieving, because they want to get to, as gruesome as it is, the body that's on the street. What's your relationship like with the police?
I've been having a nice, good relationship with the Chicago Police Department, whether it's in the city and out the city. We understand we have mutual goals to meet. And in many, many cases, Chicago Police Department are been disrespected so much on the crime scene, when they're only there to help, they're only there to get the evidence, they're only there to get the information so they can make an arrest. But sometimes they point the finger at the police department. I have to tell them sometime when I'm there, no, let's stop. They're only here to help. They want you to stay back because somebody may have left some evidence that can lead to the person that done killed your loved one. They human just like we human, and they hurt just like we hurt. I done seen so many detectives and police officers, they have to take a walk. They have to wipe their eyes because someone loved one is laying down there. Someone loved one is dead. So they care.
There is obviously a perception, and we hear about it a lot in the media, about the relationship between the community and the police. What, from you being on the ground level, is it, what's the relationship like? I mean, does the community trust the police department when the police department shows up and puts up the yellow tape? Are they respecting the process, as you're saying?
Yeah, a lot of them are respecting the process. And then on the other hand, you have a lot of them that don't respect the process. I can understand, you know, that's your brother, that's your sister, that's your loved one. And at that time, they can't believe that the loved one is laying there that long. But it's still a process that they have to go through. And we're asking them so much, you know, work with the Chicago Police Department. Within any job in the city of Chicago, of course, we may have a bad apple here, a bad apple there, but they're weeding out their bad apples on their job just as any other job.
Let me ask you this, because one of the editorials that came off the Tyshawn Lee killing, the 9-year-old, was that the South. Where's the protest? Where's the anger? Where's the rage? Where's the organization, the rally to get justice and to right the wrong in the Southside community when something like that happens? Because there was an editorial, a cartoon that came out and said there's always a hashtag Black Lives Matter protest downtown, but you're not seeing anything about, you know, Tyshawn Lee's life matters. What's your reaction to that? Because there was a lot of pushback saying, no, this is every single day there seems to be some sort of protest or rally or organization around this, and maybe people just don't understand that.
I agree, because I'm still upset about it now. And I thank those and take my hats off to those who were out there, Father Flager, Gator Bradley, Inglewood, and some of the community. But at the same time, I'm disappointed because when there's an officer shoots an unarmed person, you look across the United States, and I lay across the table like this, they will shut down the whole city, block by block. In Chicago here, they want to shut down Michigan and walk all the way to 35th Street, the police headquarters, to protest. But at the same time, this child life matters just like everybody else's life matter. If indeed across the United States and here in Chicago, there's an unarmed person, whether he's black, white, Hispanic, or Mexican, and he's been shot and he's unarmed, I go back. This little baby was unarmed. Even though he's a little African-American, but he was unarmed. So where's that same outrage where you can shut down the whole South Side? It don't make no difference to me. And I look at it, and it's disrespectful to me when we can shut down the city, Michigan, walk here, protest City Hall, and disturb the traffic, but we can't do it when an unarmed baby, 9 years, unarmed, executed. Yeah, it's very disrespectful to me. This can be anybody's baby. I have no disrespect and mean no disrespect to the city of Chicago. I love the city in Chicago and the people, but we must understand this little boy's life should have mattered too. When you look across the United States and other countries and other states, but we don't want to riot. We're not saying riot, but when you want to protest and you want to upset about something, get upset about this little baby's life.
Andrew Holmes, community activist in Chicago, part of the new group, Chicago Survivors. He's a crisis responder. He's my guest tonight at the Big Table. We're going to take a break for the news. When we come back, talk a little bit more about your life with violence and continue the conversation here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest tonight, The Big Table, Andrew Holmes, longtime Chicago activist, crisis responder with Chicago Survivors, a new program with the city of Chicago to help with victims and families, victims of gun violence. You're suited for this because of your relationship and history with violence. When you were 25 years old, you were shot. What do you remember about that?
I just remember going through an alley and shot ring out, glass broken in my car, and I didn't know I was hit at the time, but I got about a block or two away and just felt pain. Next thing after that, I passed out. After that, I woke up in the hospital. And, you know, from there it was history. I was shot in the artery and had to learn how to walk all over again. But it's still painful, but at the same time, I think about my daughter.
Yeah.
Taking one to the chest and I took one to the artery, and I survived. But years after that, my baby took one and didn't survive. And it's tough on any parent out here when you looking at a birth certificate and at the same time you're putting a death certificate on top of it at the same time. So it's tough.
For you and the work that you're in, being a crisis responder, having to deal with grief, having to deal with trauma, having to deal with the emotion, visceral emotion in the immediate, even the short term and then the long term, your history with violence, you yourself losing a loved one, a child, does it help you?
Yeah, my daughter started out with me when I started. So her death didn't do nothing but make me stronger. It didn't stop me, just make me stronger to help enhance the quality of life of others, no matter what type of violence it is. You know, I'm, like you say, a crisis responder through Chicago Survivor. But on another note, I am the president of Operation Restoring Innocence, where we deal with human trafficking in the city here, missing children. But dealing with this violence, it takes a different toll, because you have to try to get out of here and save the next person's life. You have to be proactive. And meaning by being proactive, you have to do your seminars. You have to talk to these families. You have to get to the next door neighbor. You have to find out where this hatred is at, so much in each and every family. You have hatred among each other. Even myself, I have been through many neighborhoods, and I put it this way, I'm not well-liked by everybody, but I just keep smiling because I'm going to save somebody.
How hard is it to keep smiling? I mean, to lose your daughter, to be immersed in gun violence everywhere you go, your job is, I mean, if you know, dispatch says there's a homicide, you have to go. It's a very bleak outlook for you as a human being. I can't fathom being around all of that pain and grief all the time.
Well, I'm constantly bleeding on the inside, but I try to keep smiling and keep a good face on the outside, because, you know, approaching these parents, I know how they're feeling. I know what they're going through. And, you know, I just try to keep it real with them. When I'm there for you, I'm there for you. I'm trying to help them 100%. But if I'm there and I can save your child and save the next child, that's what I'm going to do. But it's very disturbing sometimes if I can get on the scene and I get there, as I usually been there sometime, and a person is still living. A person is holding your hand. Person is asking for his mother. And that's hard, because if that person expire during that course, is do you want to let the parents know what was his last words? And I say, absolutely yes, I will. Because so many cases, they say, call my mama. I don't want to die. I done been there before. I done seen it. I done heard him. So it is tough out here. It's not easy responding to these homicides.
No. In both situations in your life, when you were shot, when your daughter died, obviously the healing part of it, you talked about, you know, having to learn to walk again. Talk about, you know, living life without your daughter. In that process, there wasn't an Andrew Holmes to help Andrew Holmes. You know, you go and you help people. You help people figure it out. Who helped you?
Prayer. Through prayer. I knew one thing. I knew my mother was out there somewhere, but through prayer, guts. I was very weak. I gave up. Lily gave up. I tell you, I didn't want to walk. I didn't want to go through physical therapy. I gave up. But through prayer and faith, I'm still here. But I wish I had been there for my daughter. It's hard to, you go there and your baby's laying on that bed and ain't moving. And you're looking at her face, and I looked at it, and I can just see that her last words was probably, my daddy. Me and my daughter had a bond. I raised her, and it's hard looking at her on that bed. And I know she was calling me, because at the time this shooting happened, we would call each other every other night about that time. And when that call came through, I thought that was her. So it's tough on these families.
And that emotion is the emotion that is it's your weapon to fight against violence.
Yeah, that's my backbone. That's my strength. Didn't do nothing but make me stronger, make me eager to get out of here and get ahead of it to try to stop the next person from discharging a weapon. Because once that weapon is discharged, and on the other end, it's a body. So it's more than just racing to the crime scene of a homicide. We have to get ahead of that and try to put a stop to and educate them before it happened. And that's what we're doing through so many organizations that are out here helping. It's not Big Eyes and Little U. It's other organizations and other men out here that are helping, that are on the streets, that are in the churches. So we work hand in hand. So we have to get ahead of it. We have to, because if we don't get ahead of it and don't talk to these families, the next young man or the next young girl is going to get a weapon, and once they discharge it, it's too late.
Do you see through your work, all the work that you've done over the decades here in Chicago to interrupt violence, to do Chicago Survivors, Innocence Project, whatever it is, do you see it improving? And can you see, as Andrew Holmes, can you see a time when gun violence isn't as much of an epidemic as it is today?
I can see at the end of the light and throughout my work that I'm reaching the people I need to reach. May not reach them all, but I'm reaching them. And as many other men are out here, they are reaching, and I talk to them all the time. They say, they not listening. Yeah, they listening. You just ain't talking. Because if you start talking and reach out to them and show them some tough love, 9 out of that 10, you probably going to save 8, because you always going to have 1, 2, maybe 3 slip through the cracks trying to prove something to somebody, and it be too late. And they're sitting in juvenile, or they're sitting in the institute saying, you know what? That man tried to tell me something. Now I'm sitting here the rest of my life. If I had to listen, I probably would be out there enhancing the quality of life for somebody else. So we're reaching them. We just ain't reaching them all.
I think you are, obviously, with the life that you have and the work that you do, your vantage point to tell us, WGN audience, to tell Chicago, what's the cause of this violence?
Well, in so many ways, it all starts at home. You know, the way you're raised, the way you show tough love, and in so many cases that, and I say it over and over again, parents have to be parents. I mean, you can't do narcotics in front of your kids. You can't do narcotics at all. You just can't do it. When I was growing up, if my parents had company over, I was in the room. You got to be some tough parents out here. And I say this over and over again, charge it to my head, not my heart, but when a male has a child and you have a little boy, and you in the narcotic trade and narcotic business out here, you showing him what job that he should have. Instead of going to work, getting a job, showing him how to be a man. Because if you take him to that corner each and every day and putting his hat left or right, you're training him. He's in school. Same as a daughter with her mother. She's watching what mama do. If you're not training them to be productive in life, guess what? Then they're going to fall in left field. They're going to go in a rabbit hole, and it's going to be hard as hell to get them out. Mm-hmm. So if you showing them this trade, guess what? Soon as they get about 9, then they out of control. Now you want to point the finger at the mayor. You want to point the finger at the governor. You want to point the finger at other people. You have to point the finger back at yourself on how you raised that child. And if you're going to be a father, be a tough father. Show them some tough love. How to be a man, not a thug. A mother, raise them the way you're supposed to raise them, the way you was raised. How to enjoy life. Chicago's a beautiful city, but it's all how you raise your kids.
You grew up here. You've had just unimaginable pain. Why did you stay here? What keeps you in Chicago? What keeps you on the south side of Chicago trying to help people? What is it that kept you here?
I love the city. I have a lot of fun in the city. I had my ups and downs in the city. But at the same time, there's so much that you can do here to enhance the quality of life of them. And they say so much has been taken away from us. But, yeah, at the same time, we need more funding here. We need more funding here instead of them spending billions and billions of dollars to fight things overseas when we ought to be fighting them and putting them here. But when we get what we need here as far as funding, parents need to get up and take the kids to where these funding's at. Mm-hmm. If, you know, they're taking them out of the park district, then the attendance ain't in the park district. Take your kids to the park district. If they're free, take them there. I mean, you got free classes there. Your computer class there. Show them what to do with their hands. There's a lot to do in the city of Chicago. You know, instead of this gun violence, get back to taking your children to see their relative. Half of the time, when they bump heads, they fighting each other and don't even know their relatives because they're not taking them to meet the relatives. They're not taking them to get into activity. Show them some love. Bring them back to the table instead of eating outside at a restaurant or eating in the bedroom. Bring them to the table where everybody's eating at the same time. It still goes on here. Still a lot of parents like that here in the city here. It's a lot to do in Chicago. It's a lovely city. You can't blame the mayor for what's going on, governors, or anybody. We must take control of our own church. It's so much to do here. It's a beautiful city.
Andrew Holmes, longtime Chicago activist, crisis responder with Chicago Survivors. Thank you so much for coming down and being my guest tonight at the Big Table. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.